Morning Pensacola, Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
My firm belief, Director Cheadle, that you should resign. However, in complete defiance, Director Cheadle has maintained she will not tender her resignation. Therefore, she will answer questions today from members of this committee seeking to provide clarity to the American people about how these events were allowed to transpire.
The chairman and I are thus determined to get to the bottom of the stunning security failures that enabled this 20-year-old lone gunman who borrowed his father's AR-15 to perpetrate a mass shooting and assassination attempt at an event protected by the Secret Service as well as state and local police.
So if you were watching any of the Secret Service hearings yesterday for the director of the Secret Service, Kim Cheadle, to see what would be the new and informative information about all of the details of everything that went wrong and how did a gunman get on the roof and did they tell people not to be on the slope roof and did they know he was a problem and what about the rangefinder that he brought and the drone that he flew overhead and, you know, did they have not enough people and did they... If that's what you tuned in for, you're like a normal human. You watched in order to get information. How could it be that the most well-funded, most professional protective service in the history of the world at a cool price tag of $3.1 billion and 8,000 employees, the Secret Service, how is it possible that basically an untrained kid at the age of 20 years old takes his dad's AR-15, climbs up on a roof at a event being hosted and run by a former president running for office who's likely to be the next president of the United States, gets off 6 to 8 shots before the Secret Service takes him out, kills somebody, wounds 2, and wounds the former president. How is that possible? If you're tuned in to get that answer, you waited a long time not to get it because she didn't tell you anything. Not anything. In fact, you know, there was one point, I thought this was amazing. You had questions back and forth with, James Comer, who is the chair of the Oversight Committee, and Jamie Raskin, who is the ranking Democrat. Who were both in agreement that they got problems right here in Secret Service City. And, the problem seems to be you and other things. And they at one point said, it seems like we learned more about this from the first press conference you did right after the event than we have from you today. And I thought the same thing. I thought that the information that we got from her and from the other various agencies within a day of the shooting was actually more interesting and useful than anything we learned yesterday.
So can you answer this question, which I think is on the mind of most Americans thinking about this? How can a 20-year-old with his father's AR-15 assault weapon climb onto a roof with a direct 150-yard line of sight to the speaker's podium without the Secret Service or local police stopping him?
So again, sir, I will say we are 9 days out from this event, and I would like to know those answers as well, which is why we are going through these investigations to be able to determine that fully.
Nothing. 9 days out, and I got nothing to tell you. Why wasn't there a dude on the roof? I don't know. How did kid get up there? I don't know. Did you respond fast enough? I don't. I mean, like, there was nothing. And I will be honest. I did not watch all of the thing. I watched about the first hour to an hour and a half. And I realized, I mean, I always want to give people the 8th benefit of the doubt. I do. I always want to give them a chance, okay? And after about the first 15 minutes, I thought, oh, we're not going to get nothing out of this. She did not come to explain. She came to say words that sounds like words that don't really have any meaning. For example, she started off,
I would like to offer my sincerest condolences to the family of Corey Comparator, a former fire chief and a hero. who was killed in this senseless shooting. I would also like to acknowledge those who were injured in Butler, David Dutch, and James Copenhaven, and I wish them a speedy recovery.
Okay, but if you're not going to do something, if you're not going to admit something, if you're not going to clarify, then those words, you're making a mockery of them. And she went on to not do anything.
The Secret Service's solemn mission is to protect our nation's leaders. On July 13th, we failed. As a director of the United States Secret Service, I take full responsibility for any security lapse of our agency.
All right, John.
Yes.
All right. Let's imagine that you're in charge of the Secret Service.
Right.
And let's imagine that despite your 29 years of background and experience, on your watch, while you're running the organization, a presidential candidate and a former president manages to get shot by a sniper who got 130 to 140 yards away from him during an event that the Secret Service was protecting. Somebody else died. Two other people were wounded. You take full responsibility.
Correct.
Okay. And then you do what?
And then you resign.
Right.
Because evidently it starts at the top.
That's it. You resign.
Right.
In every known universe, you say, because if you don't resign, then what does I take full responsibility mean?
Not much.
Nothing. It means nothing.
Not much.
I am completely responsible for this. Okay, cool, cool, cool. What are you doing? Not a damn thing. So when you say you take responsibility, what does that mean?
We are fully cooperating with ongoing investigations. We must learn what happened, and I will move heaven and earth to ensure that an incident like July 13th does not happen again.
Well, can I suggest one small slice of heaven and earth that you could have moved yesterday? You could have just told the truth to the extent that you knew it, so that with public oversight in a democracy like ours, we would at least know best whether, for example, you should stay in your job or anybody else should stay in their job, or whether the Secret Service is massively flawed in the grand scheme of things and needs to be dramatically revamped or not. So if you could just show up and maybe tell us what you know, we'd have a little bit of heaven and earth you moved, which is the point of this hearing. And instead, she claimed that she would be transparent and then went on to avoid answering really any of the questions for the rest of the day.
I will be transparent as possible when I speak with you, understanding, though, at times that I may be limited in providing a thorough response in this open setting due to associated risks with sharing highly sensitive protective methodologies.
No, I actually get that. I get that. Sources and methods matter to me. I care about law enforcement. There's all kinds of times I'm talking to my sheriffs and my PPD and my military people, and they're like, we can't tell you that. We can't tell you that. Or, you know, you can't say this. You know, we want you to understand for background, but, you know, you can't say this on the air. Okay, all right. That's normal. That doesn't bother me. It's a question of the mix. If 100% of what you know is what you could say, and 50% of what you know you shouldn't say because it's sources and methods kinds of stuff, well, what's the other 50%? But this is her saying, in practice, I'm going to tell you everything I can tell you. What percent can you tell me? Zero. We got nothing. No details. Not any details at all.
Can you answer why the Secret Service didn't place a single agent on the roof?
We are still looking into the advanced process and the decisions that were made.
Okay.
You can hear the audience in the room. They're just livid. They're laughing. They can't believe that she's so... Choose your words, Andrew. the best part of this, okay, is there was a point later on. Jared Moskowitz, who I really like, Jared Moskowitz, he used to run emergency management for the state And then he left the DeSantis administration to run for Congress, and he's a Democrat in Congress, okay? But man, I like him as a Democrat. I really do. He's smart. He asks the right questions. I trust him. I always want politicians I trust over ones that agree with me. I would always rather have honest politicians over ones that have my viewpoint, okay? Because I can work with honesty and decency, right? Indecency, dishonest, that is way more important than whether you happen to see the world from my perspective. So Jared Moskowitz doesn't see the world from my perspective, but he's a smart, decent, responsible person, okay? So he's talking to her. This is much later on in the whole process. He's talking to her, and he says,
I just want to give you an honest assessment of how this is going for you today. Did you happen to catch the hearing many months ago in education where there were a bunch of university presidents, and Elise Stefanik asked a very easy question and couldn't get an answer? Did you see that hearing?
No, I don't think I did.
Okay, well, let me tell you, it didn't go well, and the short end of that story was those university professors all resigned. They're gone. That's how this is going for you. This is where this is headed.
So first of all, the director of the Secret Service wasn't aware of the Harvard and other university presidents' debacle over the protests. I mean, it's not totally remote from her area of responsibility. You're talking about a security situation on college campuses, and she's just not interested and doesn't know about this? I mean, I get that her job takes a lot of attention, but I mean, I kind of figured that all of America, or at least, you know, the part of America that's kind of like informed and aware and up on current events, you know, the kinds of things the director of the Secret Service might care about. She didn't know about these hearings? Okay, give her a pass. Everybody can't know everything. I get it. You don't read a paper or watch TV? Okay, weird, but, you know, okay. And he's just trying to tell her. So we have seen this movie before where somebody comes up here pretending to tell us the truth and then avoids telling us anything for a long time. That doesn't go well for them.
I don't know who prepared you for this. I don't know how many times you've testified in front of Congress. But a president was almost assassinated live on television, not just for Americans, but for the world to see. And this being your first opportunity, I understand there's an ongoing investigation. I understand there's things that you can not talk about. But the idea that we're getting less than you did on television is something that Democrats, independents, or Republicans are going to find unacceptable.
Yes, exactly. And so he tries to skip past the fact stuff to, okay, you're not answering any of the questions, not really. Can you at least promise you're going to fire some people?
My question, you said there's going to be accountability. I understand you don't want to give us names. When you say that, are you telling the committee that once it's concluded, you're prepared to fire the people on the ground who made poor decisions that day?
But what's the answer to that question, John? Are you willing to fire the people on the ground that you find out were responsible for this failure?
Yes.
The answer is yes.
Mm-hmm.
You say yes.
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 We'll fire them all. Everybody who's responsible, we'll fire them all, right?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Right.
We might have to put some people on leave. We might have to hire some folks. But yes, of course, I'm willing to fire anybody who failed that day, right?
Right.
Okay. Her actual answer to this question?
I'm prepared to take the actions necessary.
No, that's nonsense, okay? Accountability. The failure was human. That doesn't mean they're bad people. It means they failed that day, and a former president was almost assassinated.
Yes.
Okay? Are you prepared to fire the human failure on the ground? Yes or no? When you have the names of where those failures were, they're people. It's not like a piece of technology failed. It was people who failed that day. Are you prepared to fire them?
So second chance. You got it wrong the first time. You tried to put word salad up. What's your answer? Answer's still the same as the first time, right, John?
Yes.
Yes. Yes, I will fire everybody who needs to be fired. And if that includes me, it needs to be me, that's fine. I'll fire everybody and I'll resign. Okay, right? Instead, yeah. She says,
I don't have an answer as to whether...
Well, then how can there be accountability if you're not prepared to fire someone? And the reason why your name is going to be the person who's held accountable, the reason why members in this committee are calling for resignation, and I join in that, or for the president to fire you, is because you're saying there's going to be accountability, but you can't commit that people are going to get fired.
Accountability is just a word if there's no action behind it. And there was no action or promise of action behind it. Other than, well, we're still looking into that, sir. You know what she should have done? It's so, I don't know. It's easy when you are competent, and it's hard when you're incompetent. And I didn't know this woman's name from anybody. And I wouldn't, and I'm always going to reserve judgment until I watch what they say. But what she should have done is she should have had an opening statement that said, look, we failed. We have one job and we failed at it. We got very lucky, but we failed in our job. Here's everything we know so far. The questions are obvious. How did this happen? How did this happen? How did this happen? How did this happen? Is this true? Is this true? Is this true? Answer the question. Do an opening statement where you lay out the whole story that you know so far. This is preliminary. We're still investigating some things about this we're not certain about. But here's what we think is true. Here's what we're confident is true. Here's why we didn't have somebody on that roof. Here's, right? Lay it out. Instead of, well, why don't you ask me some questions that I want to answer? Completely wrong approach to this hearing. Because if she had done that, you know how much just, I mean, she's already on the hot seat, right? The water's at boiling. So what can you do to make that better? You come and you disclose fully, humbly, transparently, as much as you possibly can. Because if you're giving away a lot, then you're in a position where you can come back and say, I can't answer that, sir, because it's a specific, but ask me in a closed door session. Right. I mean, there's all kinds, but nope. So, yeah, I mean, I don't see any. We talked about this yesterday. We know what's going to happen. I can't see any future where she stays in that job through the week. I can't see it. And we'll learn something about the administration and Homeland Security if she is in that job past the end of this week. 527 on News Radio Pensacola. I'm Andrew McKay.
Texting enrolls you into reoccurring automated text messages. Consent not required to purchase. Message and data rates may apply.
Hey, Dan, how you doing? Haven't seen you around the gym for a while.
Yeah, I've really fallen off. Since I turned 40, I just don't get the results I used to get.
Could be lower testosterone.
Lower T.
Yeah, I went through it a while back. Once you hit 40, your body has less free testosterone. I got Nugenix Total T, and it's made a huge difference for me.
I've seen that ad on TV. Is it for real?
Oh, yeah. The key ingredient is something called Tesnor, which helps boost free and total testosterone levels to help you trim up and stay lean.
And it's made a difference for you?
Man, I feel like I'm in my 20s again. At work, in the gym, and in the bedroom.
Are they still giving out complimentary bottles for people to try it for themselves?
Yeah, you just need to send them a text.
Text LION to 42424 right now for your complimentary bottle of Nugenix Total T, the number one selling testosterone booster at GNC. Plus, text now and we'll include a bottle of Nugenix Thermo, our most powerful fat incinerator ever, to help you get back into shape fast, absolutely free. Text LION to 42424. That's LION to 42424.
Join Travis Thompson with Climatech of Professional Air, an American Standard heating and air conditioning independent customer care dealer in the Pensacola area, on the Pensacola Expert Panel, Thursday at 9:30. Join in as Travis discusses how you can lower your energy bill and create a healthy, comfortable home. Join him Thursday morning at 9:30 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Hello, friends. This is retired Santa Rosa County Sheriff Wendell Hall. The clerk of court has a major responsibility to the citizens of our county. They are responsible for thousands of public records, which include court, financial, and treasure. I'm supporting Jason English for clerk of court. Jason has 8 years at the clerk's office as general counsel and chief deputy. He's a good, honest man that will serve us well. Please vote Jason English on August 20th. Thank you.
I'm Jason English, Republican for Santa Rosa County clerk of court and comptroller, and I approve this message.
Don't wait until it's too late. Tune in to News Radio Pensacola for the latest hurricane coverage on News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
Who throws a shoe? Honestly.
Good morning, 529 here on News Radio Pensacola. I'm Andrew McKay. Somebody texts in and says, we didn't need Director Cheadle to move heaven and earth. Just a few boxes in her office would have been enough. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
That's quite the analysis of that. Vice President Kamala Harris, boy, she had quite a day in her campaign, raked in $81 million in 24 hours. And now has enough delegates to receive the official nomination.
Yeah, I heard the UCF guy at the top of the hour saying, or right before the, you know, saying, it's not a lock yet. Oh, I mean, it's pretty much a lock. You know, she's got the money, she's got the backing. All of a sudden, everybody, they've strong-armed everybody. I mean, they have totally openly asked everybody what they think. And all of the delegates in a completely unified voluntary response said, give us Kamala! Go democracy!
Fox News, I'm CJ Papa. President Biden ends his COVID lockdown later today when he leaves Delaware for the White House, but not before he called into campaign headquarters to speak to Vice President Kamala Harris.
I want you to know you've always had my back, and I promise you, I will always have your back.
The VP heads to Milwaukee today, her first presidential campaign stop, but she leaves D.C. a step closer to becoming the official Democratic Party nominee.
After securing enough delegates to become the Democratic Party's presidential nominee, Harris said this, tonight I am proud to have earned the support needed to become our party's nominee. Over the next few months, I'll be traveling across the country talking to Americans about everything on the line. I fully intend to unite our party and our nation and defeat Donald Trump.
More calls for the Secret Service Director Kimberly Cheadle to step down after the assassination attempt on former President Trump. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 5:31 at News Radio Pensacola. I'm David Wayne. Right now, 78 degrees. It is mostly cloudy so far this morning. A woman has been found guilty of the DUI crash that killed her 8-year-old child and injured two other kids back in March of 2021. FHP says 43-year-old Connie Brown Menzies was involved in a head-on crash in Baker. Trooper said she was driving aggressively for several miles, even had a bottle of vodka in the vehicle. There were four children in the car at the time. At least two of them were not properly restrained. The 8-year-old child died. A 7 and a 5-year-old were seriously hurt. The woman had two prior DUI convictions. Brown Menzies is now set to be sentenced in September, and she could face a life sentence. She remains in the Okaloosa County Jail with no bond pending a hearing. Santa Rosa County Commissioner Colton Wright again speaking out against the idea of a November straw poll to appease citizens both for and against incorporating Navarre. During yesterday's committee meeting, he took State Representative Joel Rudman to task.
We have a state representative that's pushing for this, that's not communicating effectively with a state representative that also represents the district. We have a state representative pushing this that wants it, but doesn't want to take it on himself and take all the heat and run the bill. He wants to put it on us because it puts two gentlemen at odds with two other gentlemen that are running for the seat that he's openly endorsing. This is absolutely a political stunt.
Earlier this month, Rudman addressed the board asking them to put a non-binding referendum on the ballot to settle the matter once and for all. Wright says Rudman could file a bill in Tallahassee if he wants, but he doesn't want to deal with the negative backlash. Well, Rick Scott asking the head of the Secret Service to step down. Scott releasing a statement yesterday calling on Secret Service Director Kimberly Cheadle to resign as soon as today. He said it's unacceptable. There's still no answers on the attempted assassination of former President Donald Trump. First Lady Casey DeSantis says it's easier than ever for law enforcement officers to get the help they need. DeSantis addressed the Florida Sheriff's Association in Orlando yesterday. She said those who need help and aren't sure where to start can just call the phone number for Hope Florida. DeSantis said that Hope Florida is a simple way for law enforcement to ensure that those who need help can be connected quickly to those who are ready to offer assistance. Florida Republicans and Democrats now sounding off as President Biden bows out of the race. Congresswoman Maria Elvira Salazar says it's not fair to the registered Democrats who voted for Biden to be their nominee.
What they're doing is a political coup by the elites, the Clintons, the Obamas, and the rest of the donors.
But Democrats disagree. Congresswoman Debbie Wasserman Schultz said the party stands solidly behind. Kamala Harris, party chair Nikki Fried, says Harris's record speaks for itself. It's 534 News Radio Pensacola. Let's get a look at our Channel 3 weather forecast.
This is meteorologist Brooke Richardson with your first morning weather update. We will have scattered showers and thunderstorms throughout the day today with a 70% chance of rain. Highs reaching 89 degrees in the afternoon. Overnight temperatures dropping near 76. For Wednesday, 80% chance of rain, high near 88. Wednesday night temperatures dropping near 76 degrees. High rain chances continue into Thursday with an 80% chance of rain. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
And right now we've got 78 degrees in Pensacola, 77 in Gulf Breeze, and 75 in Milton. Our next news at 6. And breaking news anytime, I'm David Wayne for News Radio Pensacola.
The Port of Pensacola is more than just a name. It's a powerhouse of economic opportunities, a strategic location that sparks growth and prosperity, contributing significantly to the local and regional economy with 23 incredible businesses that call this port home. Big names like C-Mex Materials, GE Wind Energy, and soon the prestigious American Magic Sailing Team. Since 1754, the Port of Pensacola has been the driving force behind Northwest Florida's economic success. Explore more at portofpensacola.com.
Join the Pensacola Expert Panel tomorrow at 10:30 as Bess Marks from Lazy Boy joins the show, talking about upcoming events at all three Gulf Coast locations, Pensacola, Spanish Fort, and Mobile, how to incorporate Lazy Boy's free in-home design service with recliners, sofas, accessories, and artwork to make your home look just like a picture out of a magazine.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions, 850-437-1620.
Here are the News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 contest rules. You can win one prize per household per contest in any 30-day period, unless specified by individual contest rules. All prizes on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 are non-transferable, non-redeemable for cash, or exchangeable for any other prize. News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 prizes must be redeemed within a 30-day period of winning. For a complete list of rules, visit newsradio923.com.
That time of year again, hurricane season. News Radio 92.3 provides informative, local, and dependable coverage to make sure you're informed of any major storms coming to our area. Before a storm, we keep you informed of the storm's track, where food and gas shortages occur, and where you can get sandbags. During the storm, we stay on the air to let you know where the storm is headed, where power outages occur, road closures, and other storm warnings. Then after the storm, we get you the information to help you recover from the storm and help your neighbors. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable hurricane headquarters.
Good morning, 5:37 here on News Radio Pensacola. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Yesterday, had a chance to talk to Santa Rosa Sheriff Bob Johnson, who was in Orlando at a sheriff's conference. Sheriff, welcome back to the show, sir.
Yeah, six times a year I have to go to different places. They never hold these things in the panhandle for some reason. I guess it's too far of a drive for Miami or something. So, but yeah, I'm in Orlando currently for the Florida Sheriff's Association.
Well, convenient Orlando.
Yeah.
So the Sheriff's Association, you're also on the Medical Examiner's Board. So, you know, overseeing both of those, which we appreciate that service. It's not always fun to have to drive all the way across the state in order to be at some administrative function, but it is something that has to be done, right?
That's it. Somebody has to do it.
You had just a follow-up. You had the incident with the SWAT team last week that we talked about while I was in Milwaukee, the shooting on the Bearcat. Just to follow up on that, all the officers are all your deputies are okay. Anybody experiencing any kind of, I mean, cause getting shot at is just not that common. I mean, you know, people might think that cause they watch cop shows that pulling your weapon, shooting your weapon, getting shot at is like an everyday. And there's a lot of officers that go through their whole careers never having to fire their weapon, right? Or never getting shot at.
Yeah. Yeah. And the majority of, cops don't ever fire their weapon on duty. Now, when you start talking SWAT, that statistic rises drastically.
Sure.
Because, of course, SWAT gets called out to the worst of the worst. So when you dial 911, you get a deputy. When a deputy has to call 911, he gets SWAT.
Yeah.
So it's they don't respond to nice situations.
No, that's an interesting way to think about it. I'd never thought about it that way. That's when the deputies are calling 911. It didn't happen in Santa Rosa County, but it was kind of a big story in North Escambia County. A couple of weeks ago, you had a family, a couple of adults riding apparently in the cab of a pickup truck, and then several kids riding in the back.
Yeah.
They went off the road. They had a wreck. you know, the kids were hurt. It was really bad. It's my understanding that minors, it's you're not even allowed to be without a, like, even in the back seat and or even in the open truck bed. And the only people who are allowed would be, like, over 18 and with a seatbelt. Is that right?
Yeah, and, you know, the pickup trucks, the bed is for cargo, mm-hmm. not human beings. And, you know, it's just sometimes you just got to use common sense. And you never know it. And people say, you know, well, we're on private property and blah, blah. And you can do a lot on private property, true. But you roll a truck over with kids in the back and they get killed, private property or no, you can still be charged. So it's just common sense. You don't put kids in the bed of a pickup truck, for the love of God. I mean, you don't do it.
You know, and I know we live in an area, especially in the north end of both counties, where it's kind of like, well, this is the country.
Sure.
Yeah, but this is the country doesn't have to mean this is a bad decision is okay. You know, like, it's right. So, and you know, and one of the things you do driver training, and it's one of the cool courses that Santa Rosa County Sheriff provides. What I try to teach my boys is I will do anything I can to get them to drive safely, because Lord knows young kids don't make great decisions. And the thing that I tell them is, you know, here's the law. Here's what you could lose if you break the law. But let me tell you, if you do something where you're speeding and you're on your phone and you hit a pedestrian and kill him, even if you don't go to jail, which you probably will, even if you don't, you live with that for the rest of your life, and you live with them the rest of your life, and you don't want to have to live with that kind of regret. Regret avoidance is a great way to teach people how to be safe. Am I wrong?
Oh, no, you're correct 100%. And also, you know, I try to tell kids when I talk to them, I go to high schools, and, you know, I try to tell them, is any phone call or any text message worth a human being's life?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's just the basic way to put it. If a text message is more important than your life or the life of somebody else, then, hey, pick it up. But I don't know of any text messages or phone calls that are that important that they can't wait for you to drive 5 more minutes, get where you're going, and then answer it. So,
and it's just, it's kind of our basic problem psychologically when it comes to driving is we tend to assume the bad thing won't happen, and yet the bad things happen, and you got to think about that and prepare for that so that you can avoid them happening, right?
Yeah, and I hear a lot of kids say, well, I'm a great driver. Well, it's fine. I'm glad you're a great driver, but everybody out there is not a great driver. And you're on a road with a bunch of other people, and a lot of them aren't paying attention. So sometimes stuff happens to you. You can be a great driver, but you can still get hit. So,
and how know, many?
It's
and-
just.
How many times has my life, when I made a mistake, been saved by somebody else being better than they needed to be at that moment? You know? I mean, all the time. It is a cooperative endeavor, for sure. Hey, last thing I wanted to ask you about, Sheriff, is you have a rodeo coming up in August. Is that right?
Yeah, we do. So the Star Foundation, which is the Sheriff's Office 501c3, we're trying to raise some money. So up there in Milton, East Milton, right by the Sheriff's Office, we're going to put on a 2-day rodeo, and it's a PBA-sanctioned event. And it's going to be pretty exciting. We're going to have mutton busting for the kids. And, you know, of course, you can come out, watch them ride bulls and horses, and it'll be a great time.
Well, sounds good. And obviously for a good cause for the Star Foundation, for helping support the Santa Rosa County Sheriff's Office in a non-tax-based way, which we always appreciate that. Santa Rosa Sheriff Bob Johnson, he is in Orlando, not on vacation, but on work for the Sheriff's Association for the state of Florida. Sheriff, as always, I appreciate the time. And, you know what? I did have one question I meant to ask you, because hang on for just a second. I forgot about this. You and I had a very candid conversation last week about the Secret Service and the assassination attempt on President Trump's life. Of course, Secret Service is going to be testifying today. The director is going to be testifying. And you had some very, very pointed words about the Secret Service based on your history of having been on the protective detail for Ronald Reagan for 4 years in the Air Force. You've had a week to listen, to watch, to think, to reflect, to hear the new information about all the things they were aware of going up to. Yep. Any thoughts on what we have learned? Any change of position? Anything you want to say?
No, you know, and the sad part about all this is the Secret Service is a great organization. They really are. Their leadership needs to be restructured, obviously, because if something like this happens, it starts at the top. It's the same way if one of my deputies do something and get arrested, whatever, the buck stops with me. I'm the leader of the organization. So for this lady to get up and basically to try to pawn it off and say, hey, it wasn't us. The SWAT team was supposed to have that building or whatever. It's just, it's kind of annoying. you know, not taking responsibility for that. And I think they need to get someone else to run the Secret Service. I just think she needs to go.
I will say, just as an observational matter, you know, you had made the comments about DEI hires and some of the females, and, you know, look, people might have misunderstood that, but like Trump is, what, 6'4" or something. I mean, it takes a big person to physically protect a big person.
Well, and, you know, it's and I've been called sexist for saying it, but it's not. It, you know, God endowed men with more muscle mass. We're faster. We're stronger. That's just the way God made us. It's not being sexist. And if you look at other people's protective details, people that pay for protection,
right,
these movie stars and stuff, you never see a female. There, it's always big guys walking next to them, because what happens when you have that guy that's 6'5", 275 pounds, attack your person you're protecting? You can't just shoot them unless they have a gun or a knife. So you have to be able to take care of business. And that's why you see all these big guys walking next to Tom Cruise and all these other people guarding them. So it's not being sexist. It's just being practical. Now, the best person for the job is a female that can shoot great, great physical attributes and everything. I have no problem whatsoever putting her on a protective detail. None whatsoever. But for the leader of the Secret Service to say, we're hiring 30% women, how can you say that?
And even you know, observationally, you had made the comment, like, he's a billionaire. I would think he'd be hiring. I watched him and his protective detail come in every day of the convention, and I never saw a woman on that detail. So, you know,
they fixed that.
I think that changed a little bit, right?
Yeah. After he almost got killed, that changed really quickly. So, and you'll notice these guys that are protecting all these other people, you know, they're ex-SEALs, Delta Force guys that go into this business, and they're very good at what they do, and that's why they charge so much money to protect people.
Right.
But it's just, you know, I think the Secret Service needs a little restructuring. That's just all I'm saying. You know, for this to happen and so close, 130 yards, I mean, that's just, there's no excuse. None. Whatsoever.
Agreed very much. So Sheriff Bob Johnson, I always appreciate the time, sir. I know you got to get back to your meeting, but thank you for joining us from Orlando. We'll look forward to talking to you again next week.
Yes, sir. Take care.
Absolutely. 547 here on News Radio Pensacola. I'm Andrew McKay. And, of course, you know, Sheriff Johnson, during that interview, didn't have the benefit of having heard all of the not information that came out of the Secret Service hearing yesterday. I would never dream of putting words in Bob's mouth, but I think I would feel comfortable saying he was not impressed with yesterday. And if he was, and he wants to disagree with me, he will definitely get a hold of me, but I would think he had the same take I did on all this. 437-1620, 437-1620. If you're thinking about selling your home, you want to make sure that you get it sold as quickly as possible for the best price possible in a way that, you know, really takes care of the concerns that you have. And I know a lot of times you have concerns, you know, how's this process going to go? And you want to make sure that it's done well. Well, when the market was really hot, actually before the market was really hot, because Christina Leavenworth has been doing this now for about 7 years, I think, somewhere in that vicinity, 6 or 7 years. And before the market was turbo hot, they had developed a process for selling homes that involved how you stage it, how you photograph it, what things you fix, how you set the open house, the price, all of this stuff that worked really, really well. And that system proved itself during the hot times because they were selling homes, you know, multiple offers, same day above list price. Now, everybody had an easier time of it. And I always said at that time, like, it's still good to have a real estate agent because they can help get the best price. And then when the market cools down, now it's not so easy for everybody. It's still easy for them. Like, they still get a lot of homes sold. Maybe not, you know, 15 offers all above list price. I mean, okay, but, you know, getting homes sold within, you know, with even a day or two, you know, at or maybe above list price, I mean, that's not that rare. Why? Because they have this system that works really, really well. And that's true whether you're selling or even if you're buying, or, of course, if you're doing both. So find out what Christina Leavenworth can do for you. You know, if you have a couple of people that you're thinking about using as your real estate agent, that's fine. Make your list, talk to them, interview them for the job, and just be sure to interview Christina and then make a decision. That's all. 723-9158 for Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenrinke Realty.
Are you ready to kickstart your career or make a change in your current career? George Stone Technical College offers short-term, hands-on programs that equip you with industry-recognized certifications in fields that offer jobs right here in Pensacola or abroad. George Stone Technical College offers 25 different career programs and can provide you with a career in a year. George Stone offers financial aid and has grant opportunities for all students right now. To learn about all the programs, costs, and schedules, visit georgestonecollege.edu.
Culver's could have only started in Wisconsin. Enjoy goodness from America's Dairyland, like the real Wisconsin cheese on their juicy butter burgers, the farm fresh dairy in their fresh frozen custard, made fresh daily at each restaurant, or try their lemon ice, back for the summer with your favorite fruit added in. Visit Culver's today. Mobile Highway at Softly Field, Bayou Boulevard at Cordova, and Highway 90 in Milton. Third-party delivery now available through DoorDash and Uber Eats. Culver's, welcome to delicious.
Hello, this is Mary with Howard Young Flooring. Shopping for flooring can be a little overwhelming. At Howard Young Flooring, we are here to help you any way we can and answer any questions you may have so that you can make knowledgeable decisions. We understand the importance of each and every customer and would like to thank you for allowing us into your homes. For those we have not met, we hope to see you soon. Visit us today at 4333 Avalon Boulevard in Milton. We look forward to covering your future.
It's the Always Sunny Show. When you're ready to throw a barbecue, it's Always Sunny's. Join us on Friday at 9 with me, Eldon Scott, to hear about barbecue events in the Pensacola community, win some amazing prizes, and hear from community leaders and how Sunny's Barbecue has built a strong Pensacola for 40 years. Pep Talk with Eldon Scott, spreading the spirit of barbecue far and wide. Remember to tell Sunny that Eldon sent you.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
Get the midday news live with Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins, 11 to 2, before Guy Benson on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
I love it when a plan comes together.
Come down, selector.
As many of you know, before I was elected as vice president, before I was elected as United States Senator, I was the elected Attorney General, as I've mentioned, of California, and before that I was a courtroom prosecutor. In those roles, I took on perpetrators of all kinds.
You know, in listening to the TV media basically cover the. I'm always just mild disappointment that they don't keep the applause in. You know, they're kind of across the board. I think as a person who appreciates the drama and, you know, the theatrics of it all, when there's applause and hooping and hollering, I mean, that's part of the story too. And, you know, just the facts. I don't know. The fact that her supporters are there cheering her on is actually kind of part of the tone, you know, and they do tend to cut that stuff off. And, you know, seconds are precious. Seconds aren't that precious. The story is precious. You can waste a couple of seconds giving us the surrounding tone. Because as she continued yesterday as Vice President Harris, and I have to say now the presumptive Democrat nominee for president, went on, of course, where her supporters knew she was going with this.
Predators who abused women. Fraudsters who ripped off consumers. Cheaters who broke the rules for their own gain. So hear me when I say, I know Donald Trump's type.
Hey, that's a good line. I mean, given the trials and conviction, you know, I mean, that's a good line. So that's going to be her line of attack. I know how to do, and I've seen this on several of my Democrat friends' Facebook pages basically saying, you know, prosecutor versus predator or felon. I also see the age thing coming up quite a bit now, which is it's an interesting issue because they didn't want to acknowledge that Biden's mental problems were a problem, right? Until it was obvious that it was a problem. And now all of a sudden they're really big on the whole, you know, age is a problem issue, which it was never age. Age was more of a number around the problem, right? Some people are older and they don't have these problems. Some people are younger and they do have these problems. So now all of a sudden, Donald Trump is too old to be president. That's, I mean, I'm seeing this in a lot of my liberal friends' Facebook pages. Of course, the flip side of that is that Republicans, who were so emphatic about Biden's infirmity or age, were always in a bit of a precarious position because Trump is also old. And anything when you're that age can lead to a mental decline. We know that trauma has the possibility of causing that same kind of issue. I think most of us have experienced something along the lines of what I experienced with my own grandma. You know, she was fine. She was fine. She was fine. She had a car crash. She was not fine. You know, like, I mean, that's understandable. So their argument now is she's a prosecutor. He's a predator, a liar, a fraudster, whatever. Also, you know, he's really, really old. And he has these cognitive problems. That's going to be the line of attack, which now that Biden is no longer their guy, they can afford to make that attack. Not that they believed in it before. But again, flip side, you know, Republicans were making it before, and now it kind of hurts your guy to make that argument because it's a boomerang, right? 5:55 on News Radio Pensacola. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, Delta Airlines says it may still take a few more days for them to recover from that global computer outage that started last Friday. They've now canceled more than 4,000 flights nationwide since then. CEO Ed Bastian says they're doing everything they can, including increasing their incentive pay for pilots and flight attendants to get caught back up.
David, I have to interrupt you.
Okay.
Put your shade up.
Oh, wow, that is beautiful.
The sunrise is amazing this morning, and it might not be there in 3 minutes. So I just wanted to give you a
chance. Well, thank you. Yeah. I appreciate that.
Isn't that fantastic?
You can't beat it.
I saw a little bit of it, and then I kind of bent down a little bit to see up, and I saw the giant orange sky clouds. So go outside and look. It's worth doing if you're not outside. Anyway, go ahead, David.
Absolutely. Pro-Palestinian groups organizing some protests as Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu visits D.C. this week. Protesters are being told to wear red to symbolize a red line against genocide. Netanyahu will be addressing a joint session of Congress tomorrow. And lawmakers on Capitol Hill looking into Zelle, the peer-to-peer payment system, because of the number of scams that utilize the platform. The Senate Permanent Subcommittee on Investigations will hear testimony today from the CEO of Early Warning Services, the company that runs the Zelle network. There's also going to be testimony from executives with some large banks, such as Bank of America, J.P. Morgan, and Wells Fargo.
All right, David, thanks so much for the update. Weird little note. Your driver's license number is going to change. The state of Florida driver's license numbers, starting July 31st, when you renew, they're going to assign you a new number. Anybody care to take a guess at why? Let me explain to you how your driver's license number works, and then you might be able to guess why they're changing it. Several states, us, Illinois, there's a couple of others that use a system where every number in your driver's license number is very predictable. It's a little bit different here than in Illinois, but basically it's the first letter of your last name followed by formula, I know it's hard to see it, but it's a phonetic representation of the sound of your name with the consonants only. And this goes all the way back to FDR days, I think. It had to do with being able to find people of names in databases easier. So the three numbers that you have actually represent a semi-phonetic spelling of your last name, even though I know you can't read it that way. That's what it actually represents. And then you have the first name through the same process. You got three letters for your first name and your middle initial. Then it's your birth year. Okay, that one everybody knows. Then it's the day of the year you were born. So, if you were born on January 5th and you're a man, it would be 005. If you're born January 30th, it'd be 030. If you're born February 1st, it'd be, 032, okay? And if you're a girl, I think it's a 6 is what I remember, but it's a 605 or 632 or something like that. And then the last one, so all of those numbers are very, very predictable. All of those numbers are fixed based on if somebody can come up with those numbers based on your name and your birthday. You follow? So it's a fraud opportunity because it's predictable. Then at the very, very end, there's either a 0 or a 1. The 0 is if you're the first person or only person of that same sequence. A 1 if there's somebody else has the exact same sequence, which is really, really rare. So it's a fraud prevention because it's too predictable to figure out your driver's license number for people who want to steal your identity.
You're listening to News Radio 92.3 WNRP Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.